Thank you, Father. We just praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you because we're all ready to go. We're all hipped up on Romans 4. We already know what the questions we're going to ask and the revelations you've given us, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you. And I just thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I thank you for the victory from our enemies. And I praise you, Lord, that you are setting the captives free. Glory to God. And I thank you for that, Lord. I praise you, Father, for everything that the enemy has stolen will be multiplied exponentially when it's restored in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Woo, I wish somebody get excited because I know what's happening. We got the victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Glory to God. I believe it. I know it. How many of you know God won't let you down? He won't let you down, not matter one time. All you got to do is believe and praise him. Praise him for it. Ooh, my. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Would y'all believe with me? Because I'm going to pray for the missionaries over there in the Middle East. Father God, I lift up those brave souls over there in the Middle East. And I thank you, Father, for your protection upon them. I thank you, Lord, for raising up the ones that have been taken out. And I thank you, Father, for everything that has been taken from them be restored, as Jimmy Swaggart used to say, multiplied multiplicity of times in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that exponentially the books that they have burned will be multiplied by the millions. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that revival is starting out there right now in the name of Jesus and that the enemy has been taken out. And we have the victory. They have the victory. We do because they're part of us. They're our brothers and sisters. And we thank you, Father, for providing food, everything that they need. Lord, I thank you that you are providing in Jesus' name. I praise you, Father, for your angels that are now there now teaching them faith and how to believe for the things that they need. And I praise you for doing that, Father. They don't even know they've got angels there. But Lord, we thank you that the Lord of Harvest has sent people there to bring in the people in revival. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to raise the dead, every one of them. I don't care how many thousands it was that they so-called took out. God's going to bring them back and just show you what he can do. And I thank you, Father, that they're going to be, the enemy is going to be ashamed and humiliated because of it in the name that's above name. And Lord, I thank you that wholesale people are going to come into the kingdom from the enemy's camp in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yeah, that's what we've got too, Barry. That's what we're trying to get. Praise God. Yes, I had him fix it, Andrew. I did. Well, we'll find out. Somebody called me. No, I told him to. I gave him specific instructions, told him where it was. Told him to delete it. And it was real simple. It was real simple. Because I had cut the recording off, you see, right at that point. And all he had to do was go in there and pull it out. And then attach what we had.
Well, so it's all on me if there's any trouble.
I know that's right.
I'll take the full blame.
I know that's right. Okay. No, it's not going to be any problems, Andrew. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Praise God forevermore. Okay, has anybody else got a prayer request? I was reading so long ago. It's so deep. Yeah, listen.
I'd like you all to agree with me. Well, just give you a little background. The enemy's been really just pounding me and pounding me. And with condemnation and just negativity and about I had asked my son Matt about going and staying with them when I go to visit for the Ryder and Maverick's birthday party. And long story short, I haven't heard anything from him even after I've texted him and stuff like that. And the enemy's just trying to shoot all these fiery darts about just like it's like factious stuff, like negativity about my son and my daughter-in-law and all kinds of stuff, you know, just basically trying to tell me there's faction between them and there's problems between them and blah, 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 blah. And just shut up. And just trying to accuse me and make me feel condemned and everything. And I just cast this down. I cast down this flood of accusations and all these fiery darts coming from the enemy. All of them go back and on the enemy in the name of Jesus and scatters you in the name of Jesus. I don't receive any of this and I command it to stop in the name of Jesus. Matt and Megan are perfectly fine. They are coming into the kingdom. And by faith, they're already there in Jesus' name. And I cast down any faction that the enemy's trying to put in the midst of them too, in the name of Jesus. And you're a defeated foe. They're the Lord's and you can't have them. And Jezebel and Ahab are defeated in the name of Jesus. And all witchcraft and rebellion and curses, you're all cast down in the name of Jesus and you're defeated. No weapon formed against me or Matt and Megan, my family, shall prosper in the name of Jesus. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you've already won the victory. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay, praise God. We believe it. We thank you, Father, for the victory. Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
I just want to add to that prayer. Some of us have children also and loved ones, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that the victory is there for them to be saved, Lord, that you're going to give them repentance. And we thank you, Lord, for all our loved ones. The same prayer that was just said, Lord, we hold them all up to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. That is
Amen. Thank
done.
you, Father.
It is finished.
Glory be to God. We thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I had an answer. Speaking of that, I had an answer prayer today myself. Last night I was praying, and I was praying for my middle daughter, and she's had a tough time. Tough time. Anyway, I was praying for her, and I asked the Lord. She always thought that God didn't love her, and no amount of talking to her and trying to explain how God loves, you know, that kind of thing to her, didn't seem to get through. But last night I was just praying. I said, Lord, and I was praying, I said, I pray to the Lord of the harvest to send somebody there or something there that would change her outlook on the Lord. And so I called her yesterday, this morning. Yeah, it was today. I called him today and talked with him. I think it was. And anyway, it was last night. Anyway, whenever it was, last night or today, anyway, I called her And to find out how she was doing, she stabbed me. She said, well, I've been listening to this Bible program called Chosen, this movie, Chosen, The Chosen. I said, well, praise God, because she wasn't interested in anything like that. And she said, no, I've been using, reading my Bible. I don't understand it, but I am reading it. And I said, well, that's a good start. I mean, that's a great start. Just keep on doing it. And anyway, we had a pretty good talk. And so God started answering my prayer almost immediately. Can I read you something? It's called The Secret of Answered Prayer. I don't even know who wrote this. I think it was Lester Sumrall, but I'm going to read it anyway. Y'all mind? I think you'll get a boost out of it. You, Pat, you mind? You said, yeah. Oh, okay. Whatever that means. He said, he recites 1 Kings 18, verses 36 through 39. You'll know what it is when I read it. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am your servant. I have done all these things that thou wert. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. If there's any example of a prayer that was answered and answered instantly, it is this prayer of Elijah that I just read to you. Elijah's prayer lasted less than 2 minutes, and yet fire fell. In the name that is above every other name, God will answer your prayer by fire tonight. What are the components of Elijah's prayer? What are the things embedded in his prayer that causes fire to fall as soon as he finished praying? Number one, he said, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Well, what does that mean? He was worshiping God. He was eulogizing God. He was worshiping him. When you go through the scriptures, you will discover that all who worship God got their request granted. You will never find a single example in the Bible. He said, if you find one, let me know and I'll give you 100,000, some kind of money. I don't know what that is. Of someone who worshiped God in the spirit or in truth who didn't get the request answered. Matthew 8:3, it says, this is the story of a leper, someone who was incurable, someone who was not supposed to be found among the multitude. He came and the first thing he did was that he worshiped Jesus. He worshiped him before he said, I know you can heal me if you want to, because he had already prepared the ground for his request to be granted. And Jesus merely said, I am willing, be thou clean. Mark 5 and verse 1 through 15, that's the story of the madman of the Gadarene. That was somebody that lived in the graveyard. He saw Jesus from afar off. He ran to meet him, fell at his feet. And if you remember, he was mad. He was crazy. But in his madness, he still worships God. He said, I've said it before. If a madman can worship God, what is your excuse for not worshiping him? Isn't that awesome? Like I always said, this man was so mad that when madmen saw it, they hid. But in his madness, as mad as he was, he recognized the Almighty God and worshiped him. Read the story very well. He didn't even pray to be delivered, but God delivered him all the same. Worshippers always get their requests granted. Look at Mark chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. How come Jairus got his daughter restored back to life? He worshiped Jesus. He was a great man, but in the presence of Jesus Christ, all men become small. And that's why I feel uncomfortable when I see some so-called great men who cannot worship God when we are praising God and we are dancing and we are rejoicing. I see some people who think they're too good to worship the King of Kings, to worship the original majesty, to worship the original professor, original CEO. There's no one like him. He is greater than the greatest, higher than the highest, older than the oldest, richer than the richest, better than the best. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah. That's what he said. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, Lord of God. Do you know when you read Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, that even if God wanted to say no to you and you worship him, then no will become yes. This woman came to Jesus and said, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. Number one, Jesus didn't answer a word. She kept pressing on, persistent. Perseverance. And because some of you prayed for 5 minutes, and if God will not answer it in 5 minutes, you say, okay, he doesn't want to answer, as if God is your house boy. He is the almighty brother. He is the king of all the universe. If you call on him, you need to be prepared to wait till he answers. I have had the opportunity of visiting heads of states all over the world. And he did. They are the one who asked you to come. They are the one who asked you to come. You arrive 30 minutes before time, one hour after your time is due. They still not attended to you. Do you leave? Leave. Do they need you? Not to talk to them. Of the Almighty God, the owner of heaven and earth, the one who can make and unmake, the one, I'm almost speaking, the one who opens and no man can shut, the one who shuts and no one can open, the one who can raise the dead, the one who can reverse the irreversible. And you say, because you have talked to him for 5 minutes, you're going to go. There's no problem. This woman persisted, help me. Finally, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this woman is disturbing us with her noise. Send her away. Jesus said, I'm not sent but unto the house of Israel. The Bible says the woman came and worshiped him. She said, I know I don't qualify for a miracle, but look at me, I'm on my knees. Jesus said, yes, but I can't give the food of children to the dog. The woman said, this dog will remain on your knees until a crumb falls down from the table. That's what Jesus said. He said, you got it, honey. You got it. Lord God. Oh, he said, some years ago, they were celebrating the centenary of Pentecostalism, 100 years since the Holy Spirit fell on Azusa. And I was invited to come and represent. Oh, this is somebody from Africa. I'm sorry. Represent Africa and preach. Might have been Reinhard Bonnke. I don't know. Anyway, didn't make any difference. Two of us were invited, one from South Africa and myself. And it was my turn to preach. The whole world was there. And because as far as I'm concerned, the whole world could be there. The most important thing is that God is there. I got the microphone. I went on my knees and worship God before I preached. When I finished, one of the big men came to me and said, thank you. I said, for what? He said, for worshiping God in public. You're not even ashamed to kneel before the crowd. How many of us are ashamed to kneel before the crowd? Some of you can't even shout hallelujah in the church, he says. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. And I'm gonna say this, and then I'll quit. I have told you before, people have asked me, when you're holding such a big meeting, convention or Holy Ghost Congress, don't you know that the devil is around? Demons all over the place. Why don't you start by binding demons? Why do I need, and he said, why do I need to waste my time with demons and the devil? Devil, I bind you. But I thought somebody bound him this morning. He's already loose. I don't need to waste my time binding demons, binding devil. It's on. All I need to do is worship God. Glory to God. All I need to do is worship God. Once God shows up, once light comes, what happened? Darkness got to go. Darkness has got to go. He says again, let somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I like this guy. Anyway, I'll stop that. Thank you, Father, for stirring our spirit up to not only worship you on our knees in front of everybody, if need be, just whatever hits us, Lord. And if you hit us to do that, we'll do it. You don't even have to hit us to do it, Lord. We'll do it anyway. Glory to God, because we love you. And we know that you're an awesome God, and we bow before you because you're our God. Thank you, Father, for being our God. Go ahead. Who was that that raised your hand, Andrew?
I was going to ask for prayer that we would be moved to worship the Lord when we need to worship the Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
But you took care of the prayer there, Michael, for me. But I'll just add that portion too. Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You may see it tomorrow night, because I'm definitely going to bring it up in the morning meeting. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And I didn't mean to say that on the call. That's all right. I don't care. God needs to be praised, doesn't he? God has to be praised. And that's the answer. That's his answer to a quickly answered prayer, is to start praising God. Thank you, Lord, and it is done. Thank you, Father. We got everything we need. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Everybody I prayed for is healed. Everybody I prayed for is coming into the kingdom, glory to God. And everybody I prayed for is delivered. And I praise you, Father, that we're going to have a great revival here coming up shortly. And we're going to be busy discipling them and telling them how to go out and do the same thing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you for your discernment and your wisdom in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And Lord, like Andrew said, let us never be embarrassed to praise you on our knees, with our face stuck to the floor if need be. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Ooh, my. I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He's just filling this whole fellowship. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. Lord, you're so awesome. Praise God. Okay. What are we doing? Praise God. Go ahead, Andrew.
There's those times when you got that song in your heart and it just keeps repeating and repeating in you. Like you used to have this even as a little child sometimes when you were in those other churches that you'd be praising God. You'd be coming home from church and praising God on something and you didn't even know you were doing it.
Amen. That's right. I speaking of that, I remember when I first became a Christian in the big church. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to mention any denominations, but it's one that everybody was probably saved in. Anyway, there was this little guy who came in. He was probably 5'7", 5'8". And he came in with a white suit and a bald head. I said, looky here, coming into this church like that, dressed up like that. Pray to God, he must be some kind of a preacher or something. And it turned out he was. He was an evangelist. And I noticed, watch, because he said, God is so awesome. He had him sit right across from over here, and I was watching that guy, watching that the corner of my eye when they started praising the Lord. I don't see what he's going to jump up, throw his arms up. And sure enough, he jumped up, he started raising his hands and praising God during the song. You know, I said, come on with your bad self, boy. Lord of God, look out now. And so I started raising my hands up like he did, you know, give them a bit too. But he was, I got to know him pretty well, actually. And he was a good, kind guy. And he was full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I just like the people here. I come here a lot of times. He did. He came for a lot of times and come in there. And I got to know him really good. Matter of fact, I helped him get to California. We had a meeting out there. He was the Lord. Was testing his faith. And anyway, he made it out there. Praise God. So anyway, I thought that was awesome. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Anybody scared to praise God now? No, I ain't either. I'm not either. I'll tell you, God is so awesome in our lives to bring us to this place we're in right now. This beginning that's fixing to happen to the bride. This great and wonderful bride. And this great and wonderful man child ministry that's fixing to come up. Ooh, my gracious. Yeah, Joe. Go ahead, brother.
On that topic, last time the Lord gave me Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless me that fear the Lord, the small together with the great.
Amen. That's a good one. That's a lot of good songs, aren't they? It's a lot of good songs. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to say or comment about or talk about? How many of you listened to the David's broadcast? Yeah. Got some stuff coming, don't we? Got some stuff coming. Yeah. Geneva, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I have a quick little testimony. Something that just really blessed my faith. So the Lord's been blessing me and Morgan with some encouraging dreams. So we kind of have, you know, some things we're going through as just a family right now. And, you know, like we all say, the Lord's perfecting the bride and sanctifying us all and just kind of cleaning us up and making us go through trials. And Lord's making us stronger as a family, praise God. But I said, you know, he's been giving me encouraging dreams, really encouraging dreams. And I said a prayer. I just said, Lord, just give Morgan something encouraging. Give him a good dream, something that is on his heart. And all of a sudden, we were talking the next day, and Morgan was like, you know what? He goes, I just remember I had a dream. And I was like, you know, Morgan doesn't get dreams too often. He's had some, but, sorry, that's Micah. But, and I'm praying and believing the Lord's going to keep giving them to him. But he had a dream that he looked at our fridge, and our fridge was just overflowing with food. there was just food pouring out of it. And then he said he looked where our faucet was, and we had a big freezer. And in the freezer, there was all kinds of food, just meat and everything. And he told me, he's like, you know, Geneva, he's like, that to me is just God saying that he's going to provide. He's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of his children. He was like, you know, we don't have to worry about things. We don't have to worry about, you know, what the world says or how to stay caught up with the world. He was like, Lord's going to take care of it. And, you know, I just sat there. I just had tears in my eyes because I was like, man, how faithful is the Lord? And I just prayed, God give him a dream, and then he gave him that. So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Yes, we do. I tell you something. I had somebody call me today. We were talking. And I asked if they needed anything. He said, well, I don't know if I've got enough in my refrigerator to go the days that you're talking about. And I said, yeah, you got enough. I said, you got plenty. I said, if you don't, we do, because we got a pantry out here that stays full. And it does. It stays full. So praise God. We don't have to worry about, we have enough for everybody in town if we need to. Many of them know you do too. Everybody here's got enough to feed whatever needs need to be done. Amen. Yeah, go, Isaac.
Yeah, I just got a little testimony to give real quick for, hello, everybody. For the boys, hello. So I was coming home today. Marina called me, and she told me something that happened with the boys. They're in the woods today playing. I guess they did their chores. I'm not sure, but they were in the woods and playing, and they got up next to a dead tree and hit it, and all kinds of like little yellow jackets came out. I forget what kind of bees exactly they are, and they got Israel got stung 5 times, and Isaiah got stung 15 times, and they took off running. And they ran out, and you know, they're totally fine. They're good. Their bodies are good. And, you know, a lot of times when they do chores, they're out by themselves. They just go out and do the chores, feed all the chickens, rabbits, you name it. And Marianne was out there this time. And it's just, I'm really thankful because they took off running. They did all the right things. They took off running. You know, they scream, like, you know, that's what they do. They took off running to Mariana. But I'm just thankful that they're healthy, you know, and everything's all good. And I got nothing, you know, I'm just thankful for that, you know. So anyways, but I do have a little prayer request. I got a buddy right now who I've pretty much known. I've known him since I've been 7 years old, and we've pretty much – him and his brother and me and my brother have done everything with them our whole lives. We're kind of like a group of brothers. It's a very tight bond. We've always been this way. And we to the point to where our families have shared, you know, shared holidays together, come over our house, we go over theirs. It's just really close. Well, he's in the hospital. He, I guess he had like, something rupture, because he had intestine rupture, whatnot. And, so he asked me to pray for him. I did after I made fun of him for a little bit first, though. That's just kind of what we do. Makes everybody feel better. we talked and, you know, but in all actuality, I really don't. I don't put it on him that hard, but we, it's just, you know, he's, I guess I would say he doesn't complain a lot, and he's real, pretty peppy fella. And so, you know, him asking for prayer is kind of a big thing. And I think he's going to be fine. I know he's going to be fine, but I'll just say a prayer for him. And y'all can agree with me. Dear Lord, thank you for, being my buddy, Lord, and, taking care of him. And, Father, thank you for getting him through this, Lord, and healing his body. And Lord, Lord, show him whatever, what it is you want to show him, Lord. And And Father, pull his heart toward you, dear Lord. And Lord, and give him a measure of faith, Lord, while he's in the hospital, to want to read the word. He'll understand the truth of it and the power of it. Now he doesn't have to receive the bad reports of being on a colonoscopy bag 6 months or anything like that. He doesn't have to receive it. And Lord, give him the word just to put a hunger in him, like you did for David, like you did for a lot of people here in ministry, Lord, that was just, it really become their hobby. And Lord, I actually just pray this for myself because I need it as well, because I need not to be distracted. And Lord, do that for me too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that boy is healed. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We believe it inside. We hook our faith up together. We command this spirit of infirmity off of him. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. It was done. And we're looking for the good report. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Missy. Go ahead.
Well, I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday I asked for prayer, but I had a week where my upper leg, like, I don't know, it was really stiff and I couldn't walk right, and it went away, you know, and then it came back, and so today I noticed that it was like it's pretty well manifestly completely gone. Praise you, Lord. And it ain't going to come back in Jesus' name, you lying devil. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed. And, you know, talking about provision, popped into my head something that the Lord, I believe the Lord put in my mind the other day. You know, Geneva was saying about that. You know, all these saying, you know, testimonies about, you know, what the angels will do for us, you know, and stuff. Cause I, you know, we believe things, you know, here soon are just really going to start happening as far as, you know, like big things that, you know, people are going to know. Things are turning around, things negative, but things good, you know, things that the Lord's doing and stuff. But anyway, whether it be this new plague we know they're going to try and put on us and stuff like that, and just, you know, deep state coming down, and, you know, Trump coming back in, whatever. And maybe the EBS here very soon, and which means, you know, everybody has to stay home. But anyway, so I was bought, you know, some birthday gifts for my little grandsons. One's going to be two and one's going to be one. And, you know, it's like, you know, and I didn't really feel like the Lord tell me not to buy anything, but you know, the enemy's there where you're not going to get to give them to them and blah, 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 you know, kind of thing in the back of your mind, you know? And you know what? It's just popped into my head, you know, and I was just like, well, Lord, if I don't get to give them to you, the angels can give them to them. The angels can take them and give them to them. You know, I mean, it's just like, there's things that's come into my mind that never came into my mind that the Lord would do for us through the angels and stuff like that. Things here recently has popped into my mind, you know, and it's, you know, just hearing things that they've done, for, defeating our enemies and all these things. It's, just really, got my imagination going and faith, you know, because faith through imagination, or anyway, so I thank you, Lord, that, you know, that they're not gonna, you know, that my grandsons are gonna get their gifts no matter what, even if I can't hand deliver them, that the angels will take them for them. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, Andrew.
No, I was thinking of your prayer there, Isaac. You said you knew this person since you were 7 years old. Did you have a brother also that knew him? You talked about family there, you know. I was just wondering if maybe if you do have a brother, that maybe you can include him in this prayer also. I don't know if you have a good relationship with your brothers or if you even have a brother there, because it seemed like it's a close bond, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right, Andrew. I do have a brother. I have an older brother, and so it's an old. My older brother is the same age as this guy by a few months, who's in a hospital. And the guy's in the hospital. His younger brother is like a month away from me, so we're all pretty much the same ages. And so, yeah, me and my older brother, and there's him and his younger brother. And I should include my brother because I brought him up here before, but, you know, I'll be frank with you guys. I haven't been as prayerful with him as I should have. So, you know, I appreciate that. And it's, you know, it's me and Geneva's brother. And he lives in North Carolina. And I just know where he's – I just know this. I'll leave it like this. I really think the Lord's got something for my brother. And, you know, I'm just going to pray that he comes into it.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Thinking there, you know, mutual childhood friends like that, you know, sometimes can be very good for people's souls and hearts.
Yeah, it can. And I'll be honest with you too. Sometimes it can be on the reciprocal too, as well. It can, you know, I do love these guys tremendously. I do. I mean, we have just about every memory in my life is with them, but sometimes it can drag you back. And I've kind of struggled with that in life. Now I live 200 miles away from them, so I don't really see them very much.
Yeah.
And if I talk,
hey, if I talked to two guys from Spectrum. Yeah.
Hey, Brandy.
Yeah. You know, I talked to you earlier today, and then.
Go ahead, Isaac.
That's all right. That's my good old buddy
he's calling,
Brandy.
He's calling the cable company to get us hooked up for his due.
Oh, there you go. Well, cool, man. Yeah. So, but no, I was just gonna say, I at times I know the Lord's, and I don't mean to sound, you know, judgmental here, but the Lord's like, all right, Isaac, you need to back off, right? And kind of, because I can't convince anybody, and they're good people as far as what they know, but I don't know, I don't want to go much more into it, but I just kind of have to keep my distance. I know that right now. That's why I want to see them get in the word. But I do love him. Now, my brother, you know, I want to see him actually, you know, and I'll be a little more frank here. I think there's a lot of witchcraft around him, and I want to see that go. And I think it binds him I think it affects the way he thinks, too. So I'm just going to say prayer. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that remind us of these things, Lord, because it really is important, Lord. And Father, I thank you for putting a desire in me to be more studious, Father, and prayerful with my brothers, my brother, Father, my loved ones and friends, and even the body in the church, Lord. I cast down witchcraft off my family in Jesus' name. You just don't have a place here, and you can't bind him and tie him up because he's coming out. And I see it in my mind that he's busting through, and that's Christ in him. That's going to do the work, the hope and glory, Christ and him. And I know it. And Lord, I thank you for doing the work sooner rather than even later, Lord, because I know you got a great work to do in Nathan. And I thank you for letting him express that joy of the Lord to both me and Geneva, Lord. And that'll rub off for us too, Lord, and it'll help build us as well. And Lord, I thank you that he'll be in here and he'll get to talk to these guys. And Lord, he'll get to share his funny experiences and make everybody laugh, Lord, because he's got such a great sense of humor you've given him. And he makes everybody laugh, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, for that. But Lord, I thank you for, more importantly, Lord, the edification for him and for us and in a body. And all my brothers and sisters here, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we thank you that he's already in. He's in full form in Jesus' name. He's fully submitted to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I got a text from David for y'all that knows what I'm talking about. Brandon says a man is coming first thing in the morning to take care of us with this cable. Praise God, Lord. Don't let no demon keep him from coming up this hill tomorrow morning in Jesus' name. And I'm If you try to hinder him from coming up this thing, we're going to wage war on you, and you are in trouble. Lord of God, he's coming up here and going to hook us up. Thank you, Jesus. Short story long. All right. All right. Go ahead, pal.
So is that fiber optic, is that Verizon?
What is fiber optics?
That's what you're.
Yeah, it's fiber optics, and no, it's not Verizon. It's Spectrum.
Oh, okay.
We're what do you call that? We're in the one that can't go any higher than it is now. It's not high enough. Just Ethernet cable coming in, you
Okay. Yeah,
But,
we've had fiber optics for a long time.
that 5G stuff is good too. Stuff that Missy's on, Brandy's on, that's real
Yeah.
good too. DSL is good. Hey, Brandy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
Sorry.
you were on mute a while ago when you was on the phone.
On the phone with Spectrum or David. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. We got to find out that you're gonna get it up here tomorrow. Praise God.
You're gonna be there first thing in the morning. The manager called me from Mississippi, gave me his personal phone number. So if you have any problems, you call me in the morning.
Okay, what's first thing in the morning?
That's what David asked. I'm guessing it's about 9 o'clock. That's for them. That's for the work. Those guys that get in truck, you know. First thing
Okay.
for us is about 6, probably 9.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brandon.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Go ahead, Pat.
I just have a little testimony, an interesting thing. Yesterday, was it yesterday? Yes, it was yesterday. We were I was received a shipment at work, and it was, and so I didn't have anybody there. I grabbed my the one of the helpers out there, and we proceeded to unload this truck ourselves. And this stuff was a little bit heavy, and I strained my back, and so I was my lower back was very it's kind of, it wasn't excruciating pain, but it was, you could tell it was there, you know. And so I came home and, went through the paces and whatever. But, and I was getting ready to go to bed. And through the week, I sleep in another bedroom there because I have to get up at, like, bless you. So I have to get up at 4 o'clock, and I don't want to, wake up my wife or whatever. So anyway, and I went in, say good night and everything. She asked me what was wrong. I said, "Well, I strained my back this, this morning or whatever." Anyway, went to bed, and she popped in the bedroom and said, "You want me to pray for that with you?" And I said, "Sure." And so we sat down on the bed and prayed for my back to be healed. And I didn't even pray. I just said, I agree with that prayer in Jesus' name. And that was it. And I went to bed, and I could tell the pain was gone that night. You know, last night it was gone, but when I got up in the morning, it was completely gone. And I was kind of rejoicing about that all the way to work. And I got to looking at that scripture of Matthew 18:19, where it says, "Again, I say unto you that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them, of my Father, for them of my Father who is in heaven." And I just got to thinking how marvelous God is that he puts words, scriptures like that. He puts his word in there that he is bound to honor. I was thinking about that whole process going, you know, he certainly, God certainly puts himself in a corner type of thing, and allows us to take advantage of these words that he's given us. But, I just have to praise the Lord. It was, you know, number one, the pain went immediately. But the greater gift, I think, was just seeing that scripture. If any two agree, and just seeing the power of that, it was just, you know, it's mind blowing. And so I just praise the Lord. Thank him for his word of healing.
Amen. Thank you, Father. He is a quick God, Eddie. When we stay with the scriptures. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Yesterday, what you were talking about earlier, Lord showed me yesterday morning. He showed me the specific things to do and things, and to believe him and trust and go on. And it's very great for my whole day. It's going great. I'm following my Lord. And just about the afternoon, he just shows me, when it's going a little bit bad, your attitudes toward the Lord should be the same. When it's going very, really good, exciting to listen to him and obey him and praise him and worship him and love him. Then if it's going a little bit bad, your praise and worship should be the same because he's God. It's not just a little bit when he's going good, but it's always when he's going bad. He was showing me, teaching me the same. On the same day, he told me from a very high to very low, your praise should always be the same. Do you understand? That's not talking, Michael. Julian, but me.
I need Jerry to talk for me.
I need you to repeat it.
Just repeat it, Michael. Be honest with you, I got distracted.
Okay.
And I apologize for that.
In the morning.
I've got my all ears on you right now, buddy. Just go on with it.
In the morning yesterday, the Lord showed me, he's doing things for me. He showed me directly in my thoughts where to go, what to do, and praise him because he's going good with me. Because I was in a bad state, but now it's getting a lot better. I'm exciting and following him. In other words, you praise him because he's going good with you, because you're in a good state. Then just an afternoon, when you're going a little bit bad, a little bit down, your praise and worship should be the same as when it's going good in the morning. So it was, you must praise him always, not just when you're starting at as in good, but also when it is a little bit bad. And the patience to listen to him is should be the same as praising, because when it's going good and when it's going a little bit bad, your praise should always be the same. Just waiting for him, and that he teach me yesterday. Praise be to God.
So praise God all the time, right?
Amen. Amen.
Sure. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes.
That's why he gave me the Psalm 115. The whole thing is about, I'm not going to read everything. He says, they that have mouths, they cannot speak. They have ears, they cannot hear. But Israel trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He is their help and their shield. He will bless the house of Israel. So it's so in contrast. And when the enemy is against you, and again, when the Lord is with you, and the Lord is keep quiet, that's always should be the same. Praise be to God. Thank you very much.
Praise be to God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Who is that up there? Oh, that's Debbie. Go ahead, Debbie.
That's me. What Joe just shared reminds me of a Monday night, our praise Monday night. Remember how high level of our praise Monday night was?
Yeah.
Michael, how awesome that was. Yes, he saw the angels and a chariot and horses, a horse and angels all over the place. And so, but it was very wonderful worship. And then David T, he was speaking out in tongues again. And the same time he was, I was receiving something, and so I shared that out. And I didn't, you know, do anything with that, but it just has come. What Joe was saying is what the Lord's saying that night, because the level of our praise was just, it was just so wonderful. It was amazing. And the Lord had said that, you know, you can always be at this level of praise with me. You can always be here, but I'm not saying exactly, I'm just getting a gist, but you're so susceptible to change. You're so susceptible to change. But if you focus on, through one of the songs, I live to bring you praise. If you focus on living to bring me praise, living to worship me, you'll be able to be there in that place. You can come to this level of praise when you gather together. I thought it was really amazing, but, then he was saying that because I don't change, it's not me who changes. I'm the same. I'm the same one that you praise tonight for who I am and all you gave me tonight. I'm the same one. I never change, but you change. So, but if you focus on staying in that place of praising me, and I know that can be, you know, in our hearts when we're busy doing things, just him always on our mind, always giving praise to him in some form. We let things change us so much. We let things take us away from that. And he's saying that we don't have to let those things take us away from being that place of praise to the Lord and worship with him, worship him in our hearts. I know, as David Eel said, that worship is also in things that we do. And, you know, we do things unto him as a worship unto him. But still always in that place in our heart of bowed to worship, you know, we worship him and that praise, and not let that be so swift to change all the time. That level of praise that we were at was amazing. He said, you can be this, you can come to me, you can bring this level of praise to me every time you worship. But, I think we got to remember to not try to be so changeable. And by the grace of God, with his grace and his help to do that, but that's what we want to go for is come before him for that grace and that help to be able to get off from that praise and worship every day. Because when we come together to praise, I sure would like it to be like that every time we do. That would be awesome. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that because kind of what Joe shared reminded me of that.
Amen. So, Well, that's a good subject there is why does our praise drop off? And it shouldn't. I don't care what the music is. Makes no difference what the music is. Our focus should be on the Lord. You know, we like those stirred up type of music, but if it's still singing the praises of God, it makes no difference. We ought to be praising God and be in that special place with Him while we're doing it. Lord God, yeah, you're right, Debbie.
Amen, amen. Lord's right. Lord, you're right.
All right, Pat, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Just getting over here to Esau. When Joe was talking about that, things going up, things going down, you know, positives and negatives and whatever. I thought of this verse here when Paul and Silas were, they were preaching the gospel and they cast a demon out of a maiden there. And it says, but when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they laid hold on Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them unto the magistrates, they said, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and set forth customs which is not lawful for us to receive or to be observed, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes, their garments off them, and commanded to beat them with rods. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, and they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, I think that constitutes a low point. I would say it's a negative there. Not having a good day. But who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And so what did Paul and Silas? But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the jailer, being roused out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We are all here. And he called for the lights and sprang in, and trembling for fear, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And it just makes you think about that there are no goods and bads, so to speak, because God has purchased us for his own possession to use for his kingdom, the benefit of his kingdom. And if he takes us through low times or high times or whatever, it is irrelevant to his love for us, so to speak. And if he takes us through times like what Silas and Paul went through, and looks like a very big negative, he has a purpose in it. And I'm looking, you know, at those verses, the prisoners were listening to this. you know, a very unusual to have two people that have just, you know, literally had the tar beaten out of them. And they're sitting there in chains and they're praising God and worshiping and singing hymns. And so I agree with what Joe is saying. We have to be in a heart attitude of praise and worship, and no matter what we're going through, high or low, it's all a purpose. Many times, when we go through tremendous struggles and tense situations, and God gives us grace to smooth through those things, people will tend to observe that, and so our demeanor, the way that we go through these things, also speaks volumes related to the grace of God and how He is able to take us through even the hard times in joy. So, I don't know. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you bringing that up. That was very good.
Amen. Thank you, Joe and Pat. Okay, anybody else? I might let a praise song. All right, I think I will. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, just before you praise the Lord, why I brought it up, it just showed me my heart, why, because He did me that, He teach me that yesterday. It says, when it's going down, just if you fail, just repent and put on my garment of praise. Don't let that get you down. If that gets you down, then you're in condemnation. Just praise me whenever the situation is. That's all. But that's what He teach me yesterday. Not because I'm something, but that's what He teach me. I did go through a lesson yesterday, and that is, this morning as well. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Y'all ready for some good music? Okay, good. Praise God. We decided to play this before we got any praise, but apropos, something like that. We don't say that in Arkansas normally, so I'm just having the trouble. All right, here we go, folks. Where in the world did it go? Give me a minute. Oh, there it is. Hang on. I'm sorry, everything. I'm not going to say that word because it ain't going to be the
key. Now, we do spiritual battle in this life. We overcome the demons of darkness through repentance of our own sin, through being forgiven of our own sin and forgiving others, through praising the Lord. As the book says, we must pierce the darkness, and we can do so with the power of Jesus Christ. So let's sing this. The battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Presses in real hard. Everybody goes through it. We have to have courage that the Lord is fighting the battle for us. He'll pull us out of the darkness if we just trust in Him. So let's sing that verse once more.
When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Encourage my friend.
There was another good song coming on behind it. I hadn't listened to it, but I'm sorry about that. Oh, my. Praise God. Yeah, I know. Praise God. Okay. What are we going to do now? Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Let's talk about Jesus. We don't talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. He's my God. He's my friend. He's my brother. He's the creator of the earth, the stars, the moon, the sun. Can you imagine? Has anybody got an imagination that goes, that dwells in the supernatural at times? Have you ever thought of what it would have been like to watch Jesus speak the universe into existence? Anybody ever think about that? I've often wanted to just, Lord, give me a rerun of that. Let me just stand beside you as you speak this stuff into existence. How many of you know God could do that? He can do it. He can do it. Lord, multiply a new cookie in that jar now. Thank God, that's good. Yeah, Pat.
I got a question. I was, and I was looking at the timing after the Lord raised. And I think basically, I think he was on earth showing himself to these disciples in various different ways. And for 50 days until Pentecost, basically. And the question came up. I mean, I was I'm saying this without having gone back and actually read and studied it to see. But I was wondering when the disciples remember when they decided to go a fishing. You know, they kind of gave up. You know, I don't know if they were disheartened or whatever, but they, I believe wasn't that obviously that was before Pentecost. It must have been in that 50-day period or something, or 40-day period. It said that the Lord showed himself for 40 days and, or to his disciples. But am I correct in assuming that was when that happened? Because I was thinking of a lot of the things also in that time frame after Jesus was raised. That was also the time after that when he brought the disciples together and he breathed them on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so I've always kind of wondered what was that about? What was the Lord doing there? And it was that just a command to receive the Holy Spirit when it was poured out at Pentecost, or was that something different that happened with the disciples? Because if they received the Holy Spirit in some fashion then, it wasn't sufficient to bring them power, of the authority that they had been given, because they clearly, lost hope through the process or whatever it was and decided to pack their bags or, you know, go back to the world, go back to fishing or whatever it was. So, I just toss that out. I guess I'm trying to, kind of put the pieces there together to figure out what was kind of happening there at that time. And I guess the reason I am is because, like David said in Ecclesiastes, everything happens again in pattern. And so what does that mean? What was happening there, and what does that mean for us in these last days? So just a question that I thought I'd throw out there. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts about it.
Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, he has a very interesting way of showing up when his apostles are going off on doing something there. And you know, sometimes, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, did God, who's sovereign over all things, did he send a golden fish? Or did they come up with this own idea by themselves? We have to look to the end of this choreographing. It's like a chessboard. He moved them to go fishing, and then he... look what happened after. He shows up at the unexpected time. And, you know, Pat, you got to heal back. So it makes you kind of wonder if your back got sore, too. Someone had to unload the truck. Anyway, so he's got everything in step. And in, that's the first thing that just popped into my head. I'm just speaking out of, yeah, those doldrum times, you know, and you go, oh, wait a minute, I am supposed to praise God. And I'm just glad you're not that far off topic on even Joe's question there, you know. That's what I'm saying, you know, in the good times and in the bad, you know. They just probably went through one of those doldrum things that I'm sure we all have experienced at least once in our walk with Christ. And sometimes we think there's just too many of them. And, well, that's something the Lord has to work on us all with, even apostles, apparently. That's... just a comment. I don't think it's an answer.
Yeah. Well, I think this. I think that the disciples did not even know why Jesus died until Paul came with his revelations. When Paul came with his revelation, that's when they got fired up and went out, when they understood who they were in Christ. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know nothing. All they knew is Jesus was gone. What do we do now, boys? Well, let's go fishing. Okay. All right. So they went fishing and Jesus showed up. But, you know, it's they really didn't understand the whole concept of why Jesus died on the cross and then he went up to the right hand of the Father until Paul got the revelation and brought it to them. That's when they understood the creation of the new man. So that's just my take on it. That's what I think. Praise God. He did too.
You know, I go back.
Go ahead.
No, it's, I should have raised my hand. I go back also when I'm kind of pondering those things, and there's always the thought there that this was the beginning. This was the seeds of the tree that was going to be created. This was the, you know, this were God was sowing seeds and starting the foundation of what was going to take the next 2,000 years to develop through raising up people and bringing down kingdoms and various different things. Because, you know, I tend to get used to what I have now, a laptop, and I can scan through all kinds of scriptures and do all this, and I pull various Bibles off the shelf or whatever it would be. They didn't even have a Bible in those days. They didn't have a Bible. They had the Holy Spirit. They had, you know, they had some Old Testament, you know, Old Covenant writings, Isaiah and the prophets and Psalms. But it wasn't like they just went home, you know, at the end of the day and pulled out their massive library of, you know, Psalms and hymns and everything like that. You know, I'm assuming that a lot of that stuff was stored maybe in the local synagogue or whatever it would be. And they didn't even have, all of the scripture at the time. They didn't realize that, you know, Paul and Peter and John, they didn't realize that they were writing the scripture at that time. And so, I kind of have to go back and, you know, when I'm watching or looking at some of this stuff and thinking about it, and you can't rip it out of the context of where they were at, what God was doing at the time. So anyway.
Amen. What if you remember Jesus told him, he said, I can't tell you what I would like to tell you because you can't even understand it until the Holy Spirit comes. That's what he meant. Once the Holy Spirit gets here, I can tell you, but I ain't going to be here. You have to wait on Paul. When I smack him off that horse and I feed him full of my word, then you'll know. So sometimes we get that same thing, you know. All right, anyone else? Now, this kind of discussions I like. What did Paul tell him? Somebody tell me, what did Paul tell him? Make a long story short. Yeah, Pat.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's exactly what he told. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you can take that anywhere you want to, because that's a lot there. That's a lot. It means that you could be just like Jesus. Not that you are Jesus, but you could be just like him. As you study him and you mimic him as Jesus, as what is it? Corinthians 3:18. You look in the mirror and you see Jesus every day. As you see that and you confess it, guess what happens? You start looking like him. That's the great thing about this Christianity, our believers do, is you could confess yourself into anything you want to. You could confess yourself into Jesus. You can. That's what the word says. It's a confession of your faith. That's how you renew your man, by confessing the things that God has told you who you are. Bless God. And what you can do, you are Satan's head. You're Jesus' brother. You're all of those things. You have dominion over all the power of the enemy. You have authority over it. Authority is even better than the power. If you abide in him. That's the if. That's the thing right there. It's not that you're doing anything, but you're abiding in Christ. Yeah, Pat.
I was thinking about on the way to work today. And I had a lot of time to think about it because there was an accident on the turnpike. And the turnpike shut down and everybody was just sitting there for probably half an hour. But I was thinking about how would I say this? We are not, it came to me that we are not saved by knowledge. You know, it says, I think it was in Hosea, it said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. which is correct, obviously, but we're not saved by knowledge specifically, but we are saved in any particular situation. We're saved as we respond to that knowledge of God by the grace that God pours into our life to obey it by faith, which is, you know, Ephesians 2:8. But there's a tendency, I think, in the organized institutions, there's that concept that we're saved by the knowledge. And therefore, you know, a lot of the, you know, leaders, in the past, they, you know, preached the gospel for a while and then they ended up, say, creating a school. One of the things that Charles Finney did, he ended up going to Oberlin College and became a professor there or teacher or whatever it was. Well, the concept, and of course the concept in the church is, you know, when you get a person on fire, whatever you, first thing you do is send them to seminary or send them to Bible college and, where they pump them full of a bunch of knowledge. But it's knowledge that hasn't, you know, if it hasn't been applied, in other words, if with that bit or that piece of knowledge, you haven't actually taken it and committed yourself to obey that or agree with that and align up with that, you don't have the opportunity to require or need the grace in order to function in it or perform in it. Without that grace, number one, without that grace, many times we fail. And which should turn our hearts back to God and find out what, you know, what the deal is. Why did we fail in this or whatever? But and if there's not an interaction, if we're not going back to God and churning through this process to find out, you know, what is it about this word here? You know, I'm supposed to be obeying it, but it's not working and whatever. Well, that's the whole process by which we find ourselves lacking and need his empowerment or his, you know, the word grace. I know we're kind of fond of saying, that grace is unmerited favor, which it absolutely is. But if you read in Strong's, the definition of grace, you're also going to see a little statement in there that says, and the divine influence upon our heart. And I personally kind of keyed in on that because that grace it's the divine influence upon our heart, which empowers us to actually obey and acquire that word as part of our life, I guess. And so, I guess what I'm thinking here is that, so there's the thought, you know, that we can go out with the concept of propagating knowledge. You know, maybe as long as we get the word out and get it out there on the airwaves and get it moving and get and whatever, which absolutely is essential and is important. But just as important is being able to, understand that it's the application of our obedience to that word, which is where the salvation, the saving, the grace, actually is energized and comes into being. So anyway, I just thought I would toss that out. This part of my going to work thinking thing today. Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, Pat. Well, you brought up something that was interesting that I want to bring out a little bit and throw it out there too. You brought up Hosea 4:6. And I'm going to read it to you. Now you listen to what it says, not what people have told you it means. Listen to what it says and then tell me what you think it means or what you know it means. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I also will forget thy children. Somebody tell me what that means. Joe's got it. Go, Joe.
No, I was just before your question, I was thinking about what Pat was saying. I was reading yesterday, last night, Revelation 17:14. I'm just going to read the last part. He says, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called, chosen, and faithful. Why? That last part is so important. Pat was talking about the knowledge. If you haven't got wisdom to use the knowledge, our word wisdom is God. We know wisdom is Jesus. Having got wisdom, you can't use the knowledge in the right perspective for the right people. You have to have wisdom is most important. Knowledge is good, but you haven't got wisdom, you got nothing. It's not Jesus. Jesus must be speaking through you. Sorry, I just want to add that. Sorry for your question.
Amen. Thanks, that's Mike. That's a good verse to put in there, too. Okay, somebody tell me what that Hosea 4:6 means. But it ain't a trick question. Maybe. You want me to just start out? I'll just start out. If he's talking about my people, we're talking about people that call themselves Christians, right? Are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Do we have any denominations out there that are rejecting knowledge? Do we have anybody out there that's rejecting knowledge? Once saved, always saved. Is that rejecting knowledge? Of course. What about God doesn't heal anymore? He stopped that when the disciples died. The apostles died. That's not what he said. Am I the only one that wants to talk to them? Somebody else jump in here. Yeah, Barry, go ahead, brother.
Well, you could add this kind of thinking where real knowledge is displaced by false knowledge, raising up Mary to be a goddess.
Yeah.
That's exactly what is going on. Pray to her, you know, all this stuff, the rosary and all that kind of stuff. It's a false knowledge. Bible's real clear about, you know, Mary and her role, but they have this artificial invented knowledge that's interjected and it pollutes the whole thing. So, and that goes on in, you know, a lot of denominations too, like the things you're talking about, once saved, always saved, and that kind of thing.
But here's the problem as I see it. In the Christian world, and that's this, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, how can you have a spiritual definition of any verse as far as that goes? You're only looking at it with your senses, your five senses. That's your flesh. You can't look at the Word of God in the flesh. You have to look at it with the Holy Spirit. That's why he said the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't be taught the things of God, the deep things of God. You can't peel that onion back because you don't have the teacher with you. Anybody see what I'm saying? Amen. So it takes the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we've got whole bunches of people out there that discount the filling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit because of their flesh. They're looking at the Word of God through the sense eye, the five senses. How many of you know that Adam, when he started out, he was in his spirit was total. He was total spirit over the senses. But when he came, when he messed up and sinned, that's when the senses had to take over the spirit. Because God had taken the spirit away from him. The spirit of God away from him. And now he had to rely on his senses, right? His five senses became honed to the point where he could knew that he had to depend on them in order to stay away from trouble. From the wild animal, whatever. And then Jesus came to bring it all back to us. He came to go to the cross, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, and that's when he sent the Holy Ghost back to us. When you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got Jesus. Yeah. Andrew, go ahead.
So he's restoring the five senses. So
no.
You can look with your eyes and see something sweet or bitter. You can hear with your ears and hear something sweet or bitter. And it's not just these people in Sweetwater, Texas, by the way. And you can taste and see that the Lord is good. Your tongue has to speak the oracles of God and be sweet, not bitter. Your nose can sense things. It senses sweet and bitter. And I'm not talking about someone having beans or supper the day before. Anyways, so this sweet sensation is even in your feeling. You know, be not quick to lay hands on anyone. So it's a sweet feeling. You know that this person is a child of God and you can lay hands on them and pray for them. And even if they aren't, you still have to pray for them also. So the sweet prayer makes it to where it's supposed to go. Because if these senses are going to be fixed for us, then it's going to be fixed. And it has to come here a little, there a little, but it's the sense of this, the spirit of the word that enables you to discern the sweet from the bitter. You know if it's from the Lord. Sometimes you go through something and it can last for days where the Lord's taking you through something. Like my retirement, I knew the Lord was setting this up for me and working everything out nicely. And it went nice and smoothly. And you're in the zone, and it's working out nice and fine for you. And sometimes you get excited about it. But again, I think this is related to what Joel brought up. You know, he wants us to be in this zone all the time, whether good or bad, just like was read about the jailer and stuff, you know, and that's a lot for us to apprehend. That's the only way I can put it, because we want sweet. We don't want bitter. And, you know, we're supposed to imitate God as beloved children. And walk in love. Walk in truth. Walk in the light. There's even a walk in Jesus Christ verse. I read that. I can't remember where. You're walking in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's in there. You know it's in the New Testament. And because I just read it not too long ago. And this walk we have in our sandals of peace is how we walk, because that peace we have is just sweet. That's the only way I can put it, because it's the two are made one, thus making peace, and it's there in the verses, and we know that day when the Lord called us, and we know that He increased us and filled us with more and more of his beneficial lifestyle of his word in us. We abide in Christ. All glory to God the Father, for this is his plan with his Son. And he repairs us when we go to him. Because he loved us. For this, we want his love. We just want to love the Father, because that's what we want. Because we're children of God, and we want to be the sweet person that our Lord Jesus was. And we want to be humble in that. And we want to be that faithful person, because anything altered to him is just not what we're supposed to be. I just think it's a good narrative to be that sweet person you're supposed to be all the time. And there's all this, the wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit that you can have. They're all yours. They're the Holy Spirit. You don't want the fleshy stuff. I mean, he lists it in the same chapter. You know, I'll just put it to you this way. I remember saying, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." And I said this on this outreach once, and two people answered, "Me too, Lord." And one was a male and another was a female. And I suddenly realized they just asked for a spanking, just like Jeremiah. And I went, "I guess I'm going to have to say me too, Lord, because I need to be what he wants me to be." And that's why I think we praise him, even when things are going wrong. And when we're going through our tests, and it's difficult. It's man, do I ever feel like a little kid now? So I'm just going to end it there. Praise God. Glory to God. all things are of you, Lord. Me too, Lord.
Me too, Lord. All right, anyone else got anything they'd like to add with Hosea? Yeah, that we just talked about. Yeah, Pat.
I'll run my mouth for a minute. Something that's interesting that I think there in that verse in 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. And then it says, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Forgotten the law of thy God. And I don't know where it is at, what scripture it is, but the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And he's not talking about the law of Moses. It's talking about the law of the Lord. And I'm thinking also in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I think in our time of this age, where denominations have stripped certain aspects out of the word and accentuated the other points that they wanted, etc. And there's this concept that we've been delivered from the law. We don't have to deal with the law anymore. We're set free. We're new covenant Christians and the law passed away in this. But if you look at Romans 8:1, where he says the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the law of the Lord. And so, I think there's a tendency to tend to throw out, and if it is a law, I mean, if we think about it, the new covenant and the scriptures in the New Testament writings of Paul, those were God-breathed words to us, and we hang our faith on it because it's a law. It's like the law of gravity. It doesn't change however we feel. It doesn't change if we're mad or angry or happy or whatever. It still functions the same way, just like the law of gravity. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So, I don't know why I said all that, but that there is aspect that not only we need to be spirit-filled believers, but we also need to anchor down on the fact that God's word is absolutely, ultimately unchangeable and true. And through his spirit, we're able to assimilate that. And because of the fact that it doesn't change, we can always depend upon it, to point at us when we need to be pointed at, by the scripture. Anyway, I'm spitballing now here, but anyway, that it's that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. And of course their sin was multiplied and their shame and everything else. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Pat. That was good. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking maybe a little bit different about it. My people strewed for lack of knowledge. That knowledge we had from the beginning is what relationship you had with God, and now where are you now? It's because you don't agree with my word and you don't agree with what I'm saying. In other words, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, that's the knowledge you lost. In other words, just remember where you was and where you're supposed to be. That's why but lost the knowledge or the acknowledgement of what has happened to them, what is going to happen to them again, grow in each day. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Amen. Father, yeah, that's an intriguing scripture there. Yeah, it's one to be studied out pretty thoroughly. It's a lot of onion peeling going in there. All right, well, we're out of time. Thank you, everybody, for jumping in there tonight. It's been a wonderful night for me. I just enjoyed everybody's presence and the love that I feel from everybody here. Lord of God, we got some exciting times coming, don't we? Father, we just love you and we glorify you, Lord. We thank you that you're with us every step of the way. And we don't ever want to get out from under your wings, Lord. We praise you, we glorify you for the things that you're doing in each one of us. You're perfecting us into that man of God that you want, that woman of God that you want us to walk in. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, that we all are going to attain the goal that you have for us. And I praise you and glorify you, Father, and I know that you're doing it in all of us. We all are walking that walk that you want us to walk. We've got faith because you gave it to us. You gave us the faith and all we need. And I thank you for it, Father. Be with us. Place it in our hearts, Lord, to pray for one another and to pray for the missionaries. And Lord, we thank you for this time coming up. And we ask and we pray, Father, for your continued protection upon all of us, continued provisions for all of us, and your continual leading for all of us. And I thank you and I praise you, Father, that everybody's going to get a good night's sleep tonight or going to have a great day of whatever it is, in Jesus' name. Thank you, buddy. Amen. Y'all be blessed.